Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, everyone, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're pleased that you are joining us. And tonight, I have sitting next to me, Sister Ann. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, Robin. Hi, everyone, and welcome.
And in Vermont, we have Sister Megan and Sister Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Welcome.
Tonight, we're picking up. We're going to start, even though we looked at it last week, on Romans 8:23, because it's really the beginning of a portion that fits together. So we're going to kind of overlap from last week. We're in Romans chapter 8, and Karen is going to start reading at verse 23.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Alrighty. Now, we did read this last week, but here he's referring back to the creation, and not only they and all that was created. And one thing I wanted to add in here, you know, we know that there's going to be a day when the lion and the lamb lay down together.
Yes.
You see, and that is that restoration. That is what shall happen when things are restored. Because now we live under the curse. That's when that is passed. And part of that curse is death.
Yes.
So now here we're going to go into a section that Paul is speaking. And as we go down, it's going to be very interesting, because who he's really speaking about here, or who he is speaking about here, is that predestinated seed of God that God brings into the world to manifest him so that the seed of Adam can see and choose. So in verse 23 there, he goes on about how they likewise groan in within themselves, waiting for that adoption, the redemption of their body, because all the seed of Adam, which the seed of Satan and the seed of God were born into Adam, so they also have that cursed flesh. They are also saved by that same blood. But they have God, because, and this is something that many know, those who are currently listening, but for those who may listen at a later date and are new to this concept, when Satan fell, that was not on the earth as we know it. That rebellion in heaven did not happen during this earth's time, and his being cast to earth did not happen on this earth as we knew it. And there were people there, and the people either sided with Satan or they sided with God. Those who sided with Satan, they already made their decision, and they are those who come back in the seed of Adam, whereby God then can glorify himself using them. And I'll give you an example in a minute. By the seed of God, those who stayed and did not rebel against God. And so maybe the most familiar example was a Pharaoh whose heart was hardened over and over again against the testimony of God being the Almighty God, the only true God, through his ministry through Moses. And that was so the people could see who was God and make a choice. And there were many in Egypt, not Jews at the time, who chose God.
Amen.
And that's why God has, in his plan, brought back both those who rebelled and those who didn't. In addition, there was no way to punish anyone on that first earth because God had not set up the... he had not anticipated rebellion, so he did not have a response to it. And so that earth was destroyed, a new earth was created, and we know the history of that, or ought to. So here you see Paul speaking about that hope, knowing that it shall be, and they'll be rid of this, the curse of this flesh. But it hasn't happened yet. He sat there while writing this, dwelling in, so to speak, physically, a cursed flesh, even as we do. He didn't join with it. It wasn't what ruled him. He joined himself solely with the Spirit of God, the mind of God, God himself, and walked in obedience to that. But he was a sinner.
Yes.
Like everyone else, and that was something he did by faith, and he had that hope and that knowledge that what would be, that this was a time and it would pass. But while he was on this earth, he sat and stood in that hope, and he gives that testimony as, if you see it, it's no longer, you don't have to hope for it. It's like on a birthday, you know, you're hoping, you've asked for something, you actually know maybe you're going to get it, but it's still a hope because it hasn't been received yet. And once received, you don't have to hope for it anymore because now you have it. And then verse 25, but if we hope, that means if we do hope, if that is our hope, if that's what we believe, then we do with patience wait for it.
Amen.
So then picking up on 26, Megan.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. So stop there for a minute. So here, you know, in the same manner, likewise, he's saying, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is a capital S, helps us. And that word infirmities isn't really talking about sickness, although sometimes we may go through such things and do, actually. May is not a fair statement. But it's really because in our natural man, in us, this is true of even Paul, we are weak and feeble. And the Spirit, knowing this, and God knowing this, helps us. What? How does it do it? He says we don't even know how to pray like we ought to. And the Spirit maketh that intercession. It brings forth those prayers on our behalf. That which we know not to pray, it prays. And it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. So this is not something we hear, we know, that we could say what it was. And then he that searches the hearts, this is God. He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession. And how is that intercession? It's in accordance with the will of God. Who is it for? The saints. And it's in accordance with the will of God, not the will of man. Anybody want to?
No, I don't have anything to add.
So Karen, then, would you pick up on verse 28?
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Okay. Now this is going to be that entrance, and so let's get this one rightly divided. First of all, this is speaking of two groups. Both groups had the same knowledge, okay? We know that all things work together for good. That's everything. That's what goes on around us. It's also what we have done.
Yep.
The good, the bad, our lives, if we trust God and believe him, we will find that this verse is perfectly true, that everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, work it together for good. To who? Now, this is the two groups. To them that love God. And that's really including the seed of Adam there.
That's right.
Who have elected God of their own accord by hearing the gospel.
Right.
And also the second group is to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's the seed of God.
Amen.
So both groups have this promise. And you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at this, and we know all things work together for good. This is the Apostle Paul putting this down out of knowledge and experience. But you saw him walk this out in his life, because we can see his life. We can see the things he passed through. He was one that was in the prison, and he and Silas were singing praises to God, and all the prisoners, in a sense, were now free to leave, and the captain of the prison, or the guard, he now is going to kill himself because he knows his sentence is death.
That's right.
And yet, first of all, Paul's thrown into prison. It's a good example. No matter what happens, you can praise God.
Yes.
It wasn't something that was pleasant, but he didn't doubt the purpose of God in anything, or God's presence in anything. And the fruit of that was that guard and his household accepted the salvation of Jesus Christ. And none of the prisoners escaped, so that the guard was also safe. But it was that experience, and you can see how Paul walks out his faith in that which he says.
Yeah, and everything that happened to Paul, and we look at ourselves, when we're in tribulation, and we are promised tribulation, do we praise God during that, or do we go, oh, woe is me? Paul, I mean, he was stoned to death, and he got up praising the Lord. I mean, he praised the Lord through everything he did. He never doubted God. And he is our example. We need to be able to do the same thing.
And it's a choice we make.
That's right.
And that's what we have to understand. And when I say that, I want to make sure everybody knows that if they find themselves having made the wrong choice, get over it, make the right choice. It's really that simple. And as we do that, because we know that the Lord's mercy is there for us so we can, his grace is there for us so we can, but that's the whole point, is not that we fall, but that we get back up.
Yes.
And as we do that, we'll get stronger to become even as this testimony that we're taking a look at now.
And not to get hung up about the falling, just to get going again.
Yeah, get back up.
Right.
Keep going.
It really is pride that hangs us up in that. Why else would we get hung up about it?
Yeah.
So it's, praise God.
When things happen to us, it can be, for each person, all different things that are tribulation. Our first thought a lot of times is, woe is me, and that basically is pride. Why is this happening to me?
Or we can think, I deserve it.
Oh yeah, that's another form of pride.
And that's pride too. God doesn't give us what we deserve, so let's not look for that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So let's not be hung up about the fact that we deserve bad things, that we get good things.
That's right.
But that's because we choose to stand in the truth and in Him.
Amen.
Alrighty. So there, 28, I'm just going to read it through. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's what we confess to them who are the called according to His purpose. The seed of God is called according to His purpose. They do perform it. The rest of us can learn to do likewise. It's not that they are the only ones that can perform His purpose, but they're the ones to whom that it is given to teach us, if we will, to be able to do likewise. And that's that place of submission and obedience. And I want to hit on this as an example, because when you look at when Paul went to Jerusalem in three separate times, geographically separate, the Holy Spirit told him that if he went there, what was going to happen to him? He didn't go in accordance. God wasn't sending him. Paul was going.
That's right.
Now, he had with him people like Luke, who were witness to these things, the Holy Spirit's prophecy. They were witness to Paul going anyways. They get there, exactly what was said would happen. This is where he got in prison. He ends up on that ship that shipwrecks, but everybody's safe, and then there's a revival on that island. But the thing you have to understand is Luke and those who were with him did not leave him. And if you think about what that looked like, most would judge Paul or whoever and depart.
Yeah.
And this is where, if we want to learn how to walk in His purposes, it comes through that same adherence to the apostles and prophets who are there to perfect us. Only way it will happen, period. Thank you. So picking up there, Megan, on 29.
For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Okay. Now stop there. Now, who is it that He did foreknow? That's those who stayed with Him on the first earth, what we call the seed of God. They're the ones that have a predestination. The seed of Adam does not. And so he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. Now, what does that look like? What is that image that they are conformed to?
The image we're in is a likeness. We hear likeness and image. Likeness is kind of looks like. The image is how they act, how they present.
Their services in the same manner as Jesus.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad that.
No, I know. I thought about this, though, because people can get hung up on how these predestinated look, because they're not here to entice fleshly things.
No.
They don't come in a manner that the flesh likes. They come devoid of that so that they can bring the simplicity and the truth of the gospel and the gospel alone.
That's right.
And the flesh doesn't like the gospel. So it doesn't like it on a person who stands in it either.
No, that's true.
And that's what these do. Paul being the example in the New Testament who stood in this. And he didn't go about trying to be acceptable to people. He went about seeking to found people in the gospel, in the sufficiency of the blood, in their place in the body of Christ through that blood and that alone. That's what his whole ministry was.
Would you say, and I'm not sure if I'm right on this or not, but in the image is that you are walking as Jesus walked.
Yes. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in obedience to God the Father. And that's a broad subject. So he was always on. He was discerning and knew. And he said what he was supposed to say. So to some, you know, he cast out the devils. To others, he delivered. We know he answered when things weren't even spoken. And it's that same thing. Of course, they're not walking the same exact path, Jesus, and they're not meeting the same exact people. So, and
they don't, the same circumstances aren't there either in a lot of instances.
You know, it reminds me of how, and I'm going to use President George W. Bush. When I looked at his presidency, to me, he was trying to pattern himself after, say, Lincoln. I think it might have been Lincoln, but it's been a while now since Bush was president. And see, this is why in Hebrews it says you follow their faith, or maybe it's Romans. You follow their faith. You can't, it's not a formula by which this is what he did, so this is what I do. It's not that. It is a faith that trusts God and keeps their heart and mind on him that they might follow his lead, do as he directs. That's what we follow.
Yep.
Now we have examples that enlighten us to how that works. We can see these things, but where to, which time for what thing, that's the thing. Stop and think. With the Syrophoenician woman who came wanting deliverance for her daughter, and Jesus says, you know, it's not meat for the dogs to eat at the children's table. I mean, that was the right thing to say to her.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about it from the, oh my God, that's horrible. I'm talking about it just, it might not have been the same thing with someone else. It was the right thing for her. And she, and he stood there. He wasn't ready to give her of the crumbs of the children's table. It's when she spoke the word of faith. Yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the children's table. That is that which then moved what followed next, which was her daughter was delivered. He wasn't just waiting and he was going to do it anyways.
She had to show her face. She had to.
In the humility of it.
In the humility. That was, how many of us, if we were called a dog, would get been out of shape? Because it injured our pride.
How darest thou?
Oh.
And then 1 John 2:6, I think, is where it says, he that, let me just look it up real quick, because I don't want to misquote it. Of course, it's near the end of the Bible,
here,
so I had to walk through. I got it too. Thank you, though. He that saith he abideth in him. Now, this is our claim. Everybody here who is here on this chat ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And this is what the predestinated seed did. But it's there for all who will come under obedience to them to learn to do likewise. And if we say we are in him, then we ought to be doing this.
That's right.
I mean, that's what it says. So, for whom he did foreknow. Oh, we didn't read that one yet, did we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. He brought these people back onto this earth so that the gospel could be manifested so that others could partake.
That's right.
That's what this is saying. Alrighty, 30, Karen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Please read 31.
What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Okay. So now, looking at it from the vantage point that we know, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, God predestinated certain people, them he also called. And we can see that, gosh, Paul was going his own way in accordance with his own thinking pretty highly of himself.
Oh, yeah.
And he got called.
he got knocked off his high horse.
He did.
And that's where that statement comes from.
Yeah, which is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
And then Paul, having been called, he's an example. He was justified. God justified him.
That's right.
Now, Paul stood in the faith of that blood as his justification. And just like us, he was saved by the blood because he was born into the seed of Adam, cursed. He was a sinner.
That's right.
But this is where the obligation God has to these people that stood with him. He will do what it takes to get them to that place. Paul was, I will say, perfect in that place from the beginning. I don't mean it in the sense that he didn't fall ever and didn't sin ever, but he never strayed from the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then we also know that he whom God justified, the apostles and the prophets, the predestinated seed, he also glorified.
Right. We can see that just reading about Paul.
Yeah.
What, you know, one thing about apostles and prophets and how they are the predestinated.
Not all of them, necessarily.
Not all.
Yes.
Not all.
Not all.
Not all predestinated are the seed of God.
But no, all predestinated are the seed of God. Not all apostles and prophets are predestinated.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I knew what you were going after.
Yeah. But, apostles and prophets, we would not have the mystery. We would not be able to understand the mysteries of God.
Right.
And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel.
Amen. Partakers meaning they were also.
That's right.
So then verse 31, something, and this is a scripture that is taken out of context to a degree by probably even those listening. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, distinctly, this is absolutely true.
Yes.
Of the predestinated seed. But those who will hear and join themselves to that which they minister without rebellion.
Yeah. Disobedience.
Yeah, this is true for them too.
That's right.
But it isn't just true. So you have all sorts of people, let's say in the Baptist church, that will quote this one, yet they're not in obedience to that which brings it to pass. So it's a frivolous, presumptuous statement.
Yeah.
And even if you are listening to my voice and you do not do what it takes to have this come to pass, it is presumptuous.
Yes.
It's like Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, if you dwell there, that means you walk in with your mind you serve the law of God, meaning your flesh is going to tell you a lot of other things, but you discern it as a lie and don't agree with it.
That's right.
And you dwell in that place by faith, you are under the protection. Hence, a statement like this.
And in the last couple of Bible studies, we have definitely made it clear how the flesh and the mind are two different things. The flesh will never serve God. But with our mind, we can bring that flesh under subjection so we can serve the Lord.
And I know for a fact that we can know that, but we don't always know when we're not putting off the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when we're in fellowship and with those who have that discernment and wisdom can point it out, we can get back on. Sin is deceitful.
Yes.
And you can't think you can go off and be spiritual on your own.
No, you can't.
That's part of that perfecting of the saints, but how can we be perfected if we eschew those who can do the perfecting, can bring that word that can accomplish that?
If we stay out of fellowship.
Yeah. But you have to be in the right fellowship, because I know even at the conventions, you know, there can be a fellowship in the Lord and there can be a fellowship in the flesh, and people have a choice of which fellowship they shall partake of and minister both. So let's get what fellowship is rightly discerned too, right?
Yeah.
So
42.
Megan.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Okay. So, God didn't even spare his own son. And you have to figure we're made in his image, therefore he has emotions like we have. And yet he was willing for his son to come to earth. And he trusted him to come to earth and walk in perfect obedience on earth amidst all of the earthly things that so easily beset us.
And he was in the flesh.
The only difference between Jesus and us is we at birth are separated from God, and that sinful nature comes on us. We, by faith at salvation, are reattached, but now we have to not give heed any longer to that which we have to make that separation.
Yes.
With our flesh. He's reattached us to his spirit. But one of the things, remember that God had to let his son suffer through, and Jesus willingly did, was Jesus went through that separation from God when he went on that cross and the sin of the world was laid upon him, because God cannot look at sin.
That's why when he was on the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah. God had to forsake him.
That's
and
right.
Yet he bore that without the presence of God, without the strength of God, without all the things that would be with us if we were to go through something like that. He bore it alone as a man.
That's right.
For even those who did it to him. And God let that happen to give the opportunity to one, redeem the predestinated seed, but as much so all who would choose him. And in that place, there's no distinction. There's distinction of office.
Yeah.
But in that place, we're all reconciled. Period.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So he that didn't even spare Jesus, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So this goes back to that. This has nothing to do with deserving. It has nothing to do with how great we were or poor we were a moment ago. It all has to do with the fact that he's given it to us.
Amen.
And we have to receive it and walk in it. And we do that. And when we do it in these earthly vessels, and we do it when people look and think, well, that's not fair. What I would say to you, and you think that is, you are offended at the gospel, because that's exactly what the gospel is. And that's the definition of the gospel. Then he went on, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How many times have people in this ministry alone laid something to the charge of Davy, who is God's elect?
Many times. More than I can count.
That's what this is talking about. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Just so you know, God ain't in agreement with you. And an example in Scripture is when Aaron and Miriam came against Moses because he had married a woman outside of Israel, an Ethiopian woman. Okay. And what, you know what God did in an instant? Is he came down in a cloud. When it went back up, Miriam was leprous.
Mm-hmm.
In a split second, when he heard that, that was his response. And Moses interceded for her. And God told her she can be outside the camp for 7 days, just like anyone else. And Israel waited till that 7 days was up. Mm-hmm. And she came back in, healed of that leprosy. But I bet she learned quite a lesson about laying anything to the charge of God's elect. So, I think Karen, verse 34.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Okay, stop there for a minute. This is true, the elect seat of God, and I want you to understand it's particularly important to understand that they don't come in a manner that man likes to think ministers come. So it's very important to understand that those whom God sends us, that predestinated seed that he has planted in the earth, are going to be an offense to our idea of what it should look like.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to get that one under their belt. But it is also the very gospel that we stand in. Who is he that condemneth me, or Ann, or Karen, or Megan, or Charlie, or Paul, or Gail, Linda, Joan, Sue? Who? You see, it is Christ that died for us. Yea, rather. I mean, he's risen. He overcame it all. He took it to the grave, and then he left it there and raised back up again. That's exactly what we do by faith when we had water baptism. We took that garbage to the grave, and we are raised in him because of what he did. And this is a place, and when we stand in that by faith, and praise God for his grace that makes up the difference. I just want to say that. Then you see the same promise that the elect seed partake of, we now become partakers of. It's how it's there for them. It's God has said that he shall do this. He didn't say he was going to do it for me, but if I put myself in that position that is right by faith in what he did, he then really has said he would do it for me. That's and right. For you.
He maketh intercession for us.
For the saints. So, Karen, if you'd now go to 35.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Okay. So you can, verse 36 shines a light on the fact that he's talking about those whom God sends into the earth to stand and magnify him, manifest him. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And that's what happened to the prophets in the Old Testament, to the apostles and prophets in the New Testament. They're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so when you read then, who shall separate them from the love of Christ? Hold on, my finger's not moving this screen. Well, what's with that? Let me just look at my... Okay, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, we know that they went through that, and we know that it didn't separate them. Even as we were speaking about on the previous verse, those who join them in that stand and that call according to his purposes,
mm-hmm.
and learn it, then these things are true of them too. They're going to suffer these things. They may be killed for these things. So
but it's not just the apostles, the prophets who will be killed. Like we have the testimony of Stephen.
Right.
Who was not an apostle or a prophet, and he was stoned to death for the cause of Jesus.
But he had come into that obedience,
yeah.
which is what we're talking about. And you can see the fruit of it, because look at his prayer for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Apostle Paul is one of those that fruit was born in. I mean, he was one that was standing there while Stephen's praying this prayer. And and even as Jesus said on the cross, lay that's not to their account, or however you put it, it wasn't laid to their account. Now see, what lays something to our account isn't that we did it. It's if we don't accept the forgiveness of God through the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's laid to our account. Because you figure a lot of people who nailed were a part of getting Jesus on that cross to be nailed, let alone cheering that he was on it, later came to accept him, and there were no hard feelings. You got to understand, that's why he died, to redeem whoever will come.
Yeah.
So we can't.
And Paul's a perfect example.
Paul's a perfect example. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And as Sam said, Stephen was a deacon, actually, I believe. I don't even think he was an evangelist. Philip was an evangelist.
Yes.
But either way, he wasn't an apostle or prophet.
But he was a believer.
He believed. He was in the body, and he was a servant of God according to God's purposes.
And you know, even today, we're seeing people who will not deny Jesus being beheaded.
Yeah.
And burned, and all atrocious manner of killing.
There was one guy, and I don't know who it was, but say it would have been a Tyndale or somebody like that. Somebody who historic in Christian history was a mighty man of God. The Catholic Church even took his bones years later and dug them up to burn them.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even suffer the man's bones in the ground. That's the kind of hatred that the world has against the gospel of Jesus Christ and the men and women who stand in it and minister it.
There's a story that I read. There was a man and his son, and ISIS, as we all have, if you follow the news, you know what they're doing to Christians and people who will not accept Islam. And this man, he was a Christian, he would not deny Christ, he and his son, either one, and as they're kneeling to be beheaded, there was a shot, and a sniper took out the ones who were going to behead him. And people have been talking about this miracle, that how they were saved. I was just touched by that story. They got protected them. He sent someone to save them so they could continue to preach the gospel.
You know, that brings to mind to me, you see there the willingness to die. God, it wasn't there, the Lord delivered them. You saw that same willingness with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You saw that same willingness with Daniel. We know they didn't die. You saw that same willingness with Esther, who when she went into the king, technically, the odds were against her.
She should have been killed.
She didn't have to be, but she knew that was the way it worked, that she didn't have that right to do that, and death was the punishment for that. But she went in out of obedience to Mordecai's commandment and out of fear of God first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And Mordecai brought that fear upon her because he said, don't think you're going to be spared if you don't stand up. So see, he who loved her more than anyone on that earth, he fathered her, although he was her uncle or cousin. He was, I think, an uncle. She was an orphan. He took that responsibility. He loved her. He was outside that palace day and night praying. But when she had to stand up, he didn't mince the words on her. And that is she had that fear of God that she was willing to go no matter what, whether I live or I die, mm-hmm. is what she said. And they lived. And same with that testimony you gave of that father
the thing
and son.
Is, he was willing to die.
Yes.
He expected to die for Jesus, for the gospel. And God decided it wasn't his time. It might have been his time. It's like with Stephen.
Oh, right. It doesn't mean everybody will not.
It doesn't, I wanted to make that clear. It doesn't mean that they would, there's some that will die and some that won't. Maybe, Stephen's course was finished. He'd done all that he was required to do. This man evidently had more to still do. So, who knows? But they were willing to die and they were probably looking forward to being with Jesus.
When you look at that testimony of Stephen's death and how his face was as the face of an angel and the priests actually gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, talk about a vicious
hatred.
Yes. And yet this was all there for people to see. It was visible.
Mm-hmm.
And but it bore fruit. So that's what this is about, is you figure that fruit was the salvation of many others. Stephen was a part of it. He went home to be with the Lord, but it brought many in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's according to his purposes. This isn't about us, and it's not about our glory. Although he glorifies those who are his, he has glorified Stephen. What an incredible testimony.
Yes.
Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The heavens were open before him. They saw his face as the face of an angel. That's the glory of God upon Stephen. But Stephen was about God.
That's right.
Not about himself. And this is the faith that we ought to be walking in and getting stronger in.
Yes, speak up.
This is the faith we ought to be walking in and getting stronger in. So, whoever, and I think it may be Megan's turn, if you'd, or maybe Karen's, finish the last two verses there in chapter 8.
Three verses. We got to go.
Three. Okay.
37.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So, once again, you see here Paul giving testimony of something he is sure in. He doesn't question this. His hope is secure in Christ, that nothing can separate him and the predestinated seed and all who will do likewise from the love of God. And how does he say it? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors because we're so strong and able.
Yeah, right.
And it says, through him that loved us. Paul's dependence was on Jesus who had promised. And in that, he was more than a conqueror through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does it say at the end? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where we dwell by faith. There's another place that says not to fall from the grace.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is the thing. The gospel is the gospel of grace. It's not the gospel of how perfect we are. It's the gospel of perfect faith in him and his in its sufficiency and his ability to, that we can do as he would have us do. And not because we can do it, but we know that he can do it in us. Has no dependence upon ourselves. all the dependence is God, but we have to believe him and walk in it and depend on him. But that dependence isn't a sitting experience. That's that dependence is a going forth, because we know he's with us. And he knows that we know that that which we cannot do, he can do. Davey said something one time where, you know, he prays that the Lord would give him the words he needs in a day. And then he doesn't doubt, so he goes forth. And he doesn't judge. Can you imagine, I mean, stop and think that of doing likewise. Lord, give me the words to speak on Sunday service if you're a preacher. Lord, give me your words to speak on a Bible study. Lord, give me your words to speak when I'm in town or amongst the brethren. And then you go forth because you know that's a prayer God wants to answer, because he wants you to speak his words.
Right.
He has words to be brought into every situation. All we have to do is learn to trust him and not get hung up about how we feel.
Or what other people think about us.
What we think about ourselves. Megan, would you share the story about when you went into Dr. Knowlton? Because this is a good example, and one that I remember really quickened me.
Well, I was going to go and see the doctor, and I prayed and asked the Lord to direct me to minister to him on his behalf. And we, you know, I had the visit, and we always talk some about the Lord. And he said, when I left there, I was sort of beating myself up for not being a little harder, for being sort of soft in the things that I said. And the counsel I got afterwards, you know, I thought I was judging myself, and I was told I was actually judging the Lord in his use of me.
And that's the thing. We have to go forth by faith, not by sight. And
because you prayed and asked the Lord to give you the words to say to this man, to this doctor, then your trust should have been in the Lord, that what the words you said were what he wanted you to say. And then you were beating yourself up because you didn't think you said enough or were hard enough. But I believe the counsel was you did what you were supposed to do. That's what the Lord wanted you to say. We have to walk in that trust that he will do what he says.
Yeah. And I know that if we'll pray those prayers that the Lord will answer, knowing he'll answer them. It's different than, Lord, I'd really like to have that red Camaro. Now, I'm not saying the Lord wouldn't give us that red Camaro if that was a prayer, but that's not the kind of category, and he might, may not. I mean, but when we pray that we will minister rightly to a person, isn't that exactly what God says, okay,
yeah,
I'll give it to you. So we now have to go forth and not judge ourselves afterwards. And we have to begin to grow in confidence in that by doing it.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we're not going to judge ourselves. It doesn't mean all of these things, but we have to learn to put that stuff off and learn to walk in that hope and that faith and that knowledge that that which he said, he will perform.
Amen.
So, thank you all for joining us, and may the Lord strengthen you in him and draw you unto him.
Amen.
And may you
take to heart what we've been sharing with you in these Bible studies and start walking in it. Start walking in that grace. Start walking in faith to do what God has called us to do.
It takes strength and courage. Remember what he said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not Joshua in the sense of standing before Israel and being the leader. We're not Moses. We're not the Apostle Paul. We're not Davy. We're not Steve. But we are to the end of the book of Joshua was no man was able to stand against the men all the days of their lives. Now, in the body, guess what? The spirit that we walk in, the body of Christ, it ain't female.
That's right.
So all in that body who walk in Christ and bring Christ to situations are not, they're walking in it and led by a male spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not bound by our female natural bents, which are multiplicity, or however that word is. And see, and the thing about the children of Israel under Joshua is because they had a right fear of God and they were afraid not to obey more than they were full of their own thoughts and ideas. They were afraid not to obey. You know why? They had seen what happened to their parents who didn't have the fear of God and did not enter in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they know the end of that conversation, and they're gonna adhere. And they were told to do things that were contrary to any intelligent human thought, but they didn't question it, and they walked in obedience. And through that obedience, they came to be able to stand in the same place Joshua stood in.
That's right.
That's that promise we have if we will do it, but we have to put off what we think and how we feel and all of the other things that...
All the fleshly things.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about other people. We're just talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get ourselves into that place where Paul said in Romans 7, so with my flesh I serve the law of sin, but with my mind I serve the law of God. How can you serve the law of God? Right now, stop and think about it. If you don't even know it, and how are you going to learn it unless you let him teach it? And how are you going to be taught unless you will adhere to the one who he's given to you to teach you?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So, anyways... Thank you all for joining us, and may the Lord bless you.
And we'll be doing Romans 9 next week, so if you want to read that before the Bible study, that would be great.
Amen.
So, good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.